Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was just a grind out there. I loved every bit of it. And the fight and the grind and the tough conditions and just have to suck it up and hit shots. And loved every bit of it.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
And let's do it now. Obviously, it's a Falcons Monday. We have that to talk about. Ricardo Allen is out for the season with a ruptured Achilles. And, you know, you've got the Braves winning the National League East. The Dogs beat Mizzou. We talked about that a little bit. All of those conversations will continue. But in around the 404, this happened. Now, if Tiger Woods had won the Tour Championship in Los Angeles, California, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But nope. It happened right here in the A at East Lake Golf Club, where John and I were on Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And John, it is, while we weren't able to like rub elbows with Tiger, and I wasn't there Saturday and Sunday, I don't think you were either. It is cool that we were there mm-hmm. to cover the 2018 PGA Tour Championship, where Tiger Woods got his first win on the tour in 5 years.
Well, he's no longer known as BG. He's now TG behind the glass. And it's not Brian Gebhardt. It's Tiger Groupie. Because if you followed the station's Instagram or Brian's Instagram, there was no pictures of anybody else. You would think it was a solo golf tournament. And by the end of the tournament, Brian, it looked like one.
100%. I had some Justin Rose in there. Don't forget, he got a nice little prize of $10 million for two-putting on the 18, which was crazy because at one point, about 16, 17, there was a chance where Tiger could have won the tournament and the FedEx Cup because they put up the live rankings as Justin Rose bogeyed 16, it was, and he went to number one, and everybody saw that on the scoreboard, so there was random cheers for that, and everyone was kind of confused because Tiger wasn't hitting any shots, but just an absolutely wild scene.
Now, is that a Tiger Woods hat you're wearing today?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Awesome. This is one I've had for like 15 years.
How many
too.
Different colors of that hat do you have?
Actually, just the one.
Just the one?
Yeah, just the one.
So, Brian took video. Mm-hmm. He got access that, like, Dan Hicks is like the first golf announcer I can think about. He got access through his press pass that Dan Hicks didn't have. All right? He showed me video mm-hmm. of Tiger walking off the 18th green and kind of like having that sort of euphoric, like, I can't believe I just won this thing. Tiger literally walks right by Brian Gebhardt, and Brian did a great job with the shot, tracking it and framing it up well. Dude, you were right. You were right there next to a legend after one of the great comebacks in American history.
And you can check out all this stuff on the station's Instagram, 92.9 The Game. What you saw there is just him walking up, and he had this expression on his face like, I can't believe I did this. Like, I can't believe I pulled that off. It wasn't the normal back in the day, like, expecting to win. It was that, aw, shucks, I can't believe I just won. It was that kind of expression that he had on his face.
Now, you got a Q&A with Tiger Woods that we are going to hear right now.
What do you think this win will mean for your kids?
I think they understand a little bit of what Dad does now. And I hadn't won any tournaments in which they can remember. So I think this will be a little bit different for them. And to be able to have shared what I did with the British Open this year, I had a chance. I had the lead. They felt it, you know, that atmosphere. They felt it. And they know what their dad can do on a golf course now. It's not what I used to be able to do, and they, you know, a lot of times they equated golf to pain because every time I did, I'd hurt, and it would cause me more pain. And so now they're seeing a little bit of a joy and seeing how much fun it is for me to be able to do this again.
Wow,
that's really cool. So you're standing there talking to Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so I dipped off the 18th green after taking like a million pictures, and then they were taking all the pictures with the sponsor, and I'm like, I'm going to get a good spot in this press conference, and front row right there, boom, asking questions.
Any nervousness when you're getting ready to ask? Because that's Tiger Woods. You're not talking to, you know, some ham and egg or golfer. That's Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Most important thing for me, as you could tell, is a really short question. Yeah. Just get to the point. And those are the best questions. Just get right to it. I mean, let him answer the question.
Well, you see a lot. I cover NBA press conferences in the playoffs for NBA TV. It's the guy or the girl that gets too wordy, mm-hmm. and then in about midway through, they screw up. Because all eyes are on this person.
Yep.
It's Candace Michaels with USA Today, and, you know, and why I shouldn't have used a woman. It could have been a man. I'm just saying, like, short and sweet. But what we do as journalists is ask the question. We don't know the answer.
Nope.
You just got a phenomenal mm-hmm. answer off a seemingly benign question.
Right.
And who ran with it this morning?
Good Morning America kicked off their show with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
PG.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we got a full-time spot here for you real soon.
That's dope,
Terry.
Dude. BG, you know we love you, man.
Yeah,
we really do.
Awesome. Like, that's a cool moment. Like, you get to, and you said, Brian, that was one of your, like, coolest sports moments to ever cover. You know, I remember being, Rick, you were there, getting to interview Arthur Blank before the Super Bowl. And we're literally just you and I with a microphone standing for 10 minutes talking to Arthur Blank. And being part of that's really cool. But to talk to Tiger Woods, and you mentioned him being, it seemed like, giddy for winning. That's what, 5 years of not winning a tournament, 1,800-plus days since he had won a tournament will do to you.
He really just appreciated it, and you can see that. I mean, before, it was just business as usual. Yep. I'm expected to win. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to do this. And, I mean, outside of his first win on tour and his major championships, this is probably the most important win he's ever had.
All right, a couple of points I want to make before we move on to the Falcons. 4 back surgeries for Tiger. A 5-year odyssey between wins here. It reminds me a lot of Grant Hill and the foot injuries that he went through that robbed the now Hall of Famer Grant Hill of 4 prime years in the NBA. Came back and obviously finished his career and played a long, long time. But, John, somebody called me out on Twitter.
Okay.
After Tiger won. And they said, Kamla, I fully expect you to eat crow on Monday because you never said that Tiger, you know, would win again or whatever. So here's the deal. I don't have to eat crow because my opinion has been Tiger will never win a major again. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the 5th major, but we always use air quotes when we say that. It is not the PGA. It is not the British. It is not the U.S. Open, and it is not the Masters. Now, I'm not hating. I'm not throwing shade. I never have. I have only given you an objective, analytical view of Tiger Woods, and I thought that mentally and physically he would not be able to get back to the point to win a major tournament. So far, I've been correct. However, it sure looks like he is going to win another major at this point. But I'm not going to eat crow, and I'm not going to give my resignation speech or anything like that until Tiger actually hugs up on a major trophy.
Brian just told me he's already a 9-1 favorite to win next year's Masters. So this is what happens. What did he finish at the British? 2nd or 3rd, somewhere right in the top 5?
Yeah, it was right there in the top 5.
He finishes 2nd at the PGA Championship, and if it's not for Brooks Koepka just bombing every shot right down the middle. And then he pretty much controlled the Tour Championship all weekend. He took a lead on Thursday. He held it throughout. We had a great Saturday where Tiger, again, when Tiger putts and he's halfway to the hole walking to get the ball out before it's even gone in the cup, you know he's feeling it. And that's how he was on Saturday. What also yesterday showed me is no matter what, no matter how far people fall in this country, when you have a comeback, we will rally behind you because there were a lot of people 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago that wanted to bury Tiger Woods. He was an adulterer, which is very well true. He had problems with drinking and prescription pain pills, which is true. Mentally, he was no longer a sharp golfer. He had forgotten what it was like to be a champion. That was true. Physically, his body had broken down to the point of multiple surgeries, Achilles and back and everything else. That was true. But Sunday at East Lake Country Club in Atlanta, you saw people go, we're glad to see the best player that we've ever watched play live on this tour going out and winning a championship, and they rallied behind him.
People have been asking the question, is Tiger back? Okay, to me, John, he did not need to win yesterday, and he does not need to win another major or multiple majors to be able to say he's back. He's back. He not only is he on the golf course, but he's winning and or coming close to winning tournaments. And by the way, how much attention is now on the sport of golf that wasn't there over the last five years? Hell yeah, he's back.
He's not back, and I'll say this, Rick, until he wins two majors a year, or he's, you know, first, second, first, third, until that happens, he's never back. He'll never be back to the guy that he was in the early and mid-2000s. He's in his 40s. It's never going to happen. Can he contend, though, at every major? Absolutely. Can he win another one? Absolutely. And it took this last summer from British until Tour Championship to really regain that trust.
What was he below par?
What 11 under is what he finished.
He was 11 under. Uh-huh. Who was next?
Somebody finished at 9.
Billy Horschel was at 9.
Billy Horschel was at 9.
So he won by two strokes.
And he actually scuffled down the stretch where he kind of gave a stroke or two back.
So this is his course. We talked about Golf Channel had a great stat. He averaged 68 per round at Eastlake going all the way back to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And he crushed the course this weekend. So 11, that's like an average of almost minus 3 per day. Eastlake is his course, man. He loves Atlanta.
It is. Well, Drew Brees is not somebody our defense likes to see. And let's talk about what happened first and foremost. And if you missed it and you're just getting in the car, Ricardo Allen is done for the year for the Atlanta Falcons. Torn Achilles tendon. That was my fear when he walked off the field yesterday. He didn't walk. He was kind of carried off the field by trainers. He had a moment on the sideline where you could see he was really hurt and despondent and kind of hugged one of the trainers for the Falcons staff. Just you hate to see it. He is the quarterback of this defense. Is he the best safety in the league? No. Is he the most important safety to this defense? Without a doubt. I mean, that guy's lining people up, getting everybody everywhere. Falcons lost a big part of the soul of their defense with Rico Allen being out.
Well, I think they lost more than that. I really do. I'm at a point with my beloved Atlanta Falcons. I know you love them. I know you, and you love them. I love them, too. I'm at a point now where this season is gravy. I don't know what to expect. I don't have any expectations anymore. What I expect, John, are shootouts. I expect a lot of shootouts, mm-hmm. Okay? If you got Ryan and Julio and Ridley and Hooper and Sanu and Coleman and maybe Freeman in your fantasy leagues and Matt Bryant, you're going to be happy with the point production that you get. But a lot of times we're not going to be happy with the scoreboard because our defense without Neal and without Jones and without Rico and now we're without Tack here for a short period of time, they're not going to be able to get the job done.
Well, you talk about shootouts. Here's one guy that you can be looking for, a positive from yesterday. It was the play of Calvin Ridley.
Matt. Looks, going to cut it deep. Down here's Ridley, caught it in stride. Calvin, 20, 15, 10, 5. He geared down to wait on some competition. Touchdown, Atlanta. 75 yards.
I was standing at the 20, so the play's going away from me. When Matt threw the ball, I said, I overthrew him. I didn't think Calvin Ridley could get to that, and I saw a different gear from him. He did kind of Mickey Mouse around with the Saints defender at the end, kind of juking back and forth to get in the end zone. The kid's going to be special, and I mean special to the point of he could be an all-timer in this league, the way that he goes out and runs routes and catch passes. Pretty seamless with everything he did yesterday.
You saw the route running on display, not necessarily on the go route there, but on all the other stuff. I mean, he's just a tremendous football player, steal of the draft. And again, the comparisons to Marvin Harrison are perfect. But, John, I am over it. I'm over these guys right at the end zone getting cute. It's DeSean Jackson syndrome. Do you remember that game-winning touchdown that DeSean Jackson had where he literally went all the way along the goal line and then finally score the touchdown? Stop being an idiot, okay? You have the Georgia players. It happened again against Missouri. Yeah. Dude leaves the football right there at the goal line, but they reviewed it and they couldn't determine.
They didn't have the pylon cam.
They didn't have pylon cam. They couldn't determine if he let go of the ball before the goal line, but it sure looked like he did. That was a buzzkill for Georgia almost in the South Carolina game. Calvin Ridley, you're my boy, okay? Get to the house. I just don't like it. It's showboating. Showboat when you get into the end zone. Give me a clever dance. Do something like the Steelers do, but get to the house.
I'm really bummed out right now. We didn't get that win. I mean, we went to practice. We worked really hard for it, and we fell short. So I'm really bummed out right now.
That's Calvin Ridley after the game. Obviously not excited about his big day because it's bigger than just an individual having three touchdowns and over 140 yards. It's about winning a football game, and the Falcons didn't get it done. They lose 43-37 to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, it's a disappointing loss. It's a tough loss. It puts you behind the eight ball. So many different ways you had chances to win. Tevin Coleman, and I'm not sure if it was his assignment or not, but on third down, A.J. Klein comes free on a blitz right into Matt Ryan's grill. Tevin Coleman steps outside, and Matt Ryan gets hit as he throws the ball. You lose your chance to win that football game there, and it's really disappointing because I thought the offense played an A-plus football game right until the end.
I don't know if you guys were with us at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, but I just want to make a quick point about Earl Thomas. For a fifth-round pick, I want Earl Thomas. Otherwise, I don't want Earl Thomas. He is going to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason, which means highest bidder, which means rent-a-player, all right? There's people talking about, let's send a third-round pick, let's send a fourth-round pick. I think it's crazy talk. By the way, you're going to have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
$10.4 million this year, prorated over the last 13 games. No. And I know Earl Thomas is a beast, but I ain't messing with him.
By the way, Georgia, who wins, they're a 32.5-point favorite this week over Tennessee. 32.5. Tennessee sucks, by the way.
I told you. Thank you for War Pigs, by the way, my friend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.